Welcome back, everybody, to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm Dr. Sarah, and with me today, I have Dr. Sathath Lodi. She is a board-certified OB-GYN who has been in practice for 20 years in New York. She has a concierge practice, and she is the founder and CEO of FemV Health. She is doing like all the things. She's got concierge practice in New York. She's doing telehealth in Michigan. She has a podcast. Like, there's so much to talk to her about. So welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Sarah.
Yeah. So tell us about kind of what you do, what practice has been like for you, and kind of your journey.
Yeah. So just a little correction. I have not been in private practice for 20 years. So I actually was, yeah, for most of my career, I was employed. And then in 2016, I'm a board certified OBGYN. I graduated residency in 2004.
Okay.
And after I graduated, I worked for somebody else. So I was part of their practice and I left. And then I would say for actually a majority of my career, I've worked for like this FQHC, right? So
okay.
the Federally Qualified Health Center. I
Yeah.
worked a long time with them, and I delivered babies. I only stopped delivering babies last year.
Okay.
And so, but in one of those, like, so in my 22 years of practicing outside of residency, in that there was a blurb where in 2016, I opened up a private practice, and in that practice, so that was open for about a little bit less than 2 years.
Okay.
And I, at that time, I decided, you know, I was just going to go out on my own. I was going to do, at that time, it was GYN, and I had a med spa.
Yes.
And I will say that, like, I knew nothing about anything. I didn't know anything about business. I just literally thought that if I opened it up, you know, people would come, and they did not come.
And hang the shingle, right?
exactly. And I think that, you know, and I'll talk about all of the things, but, you know, at that time, it was a really hard lesson to learn that, you know, the math has to math. And that's a saying that I get from Dr. Una. So I'm part of Dr. Una's coaching program for entrepreneurs, physician entrepreneurs. And she talks about like this, you know, kind of like this matrix of like what actually works in medicine. And I had low volume and low cost. Because I was taking all sorts of insurance. I was like, okay, I'm, you know, I opened up this practice, 2016, GYN med spa. We put a lot of money into it. I bought two lasers, very expensive, brand new lasers upon the recommendation of another physician, which I didn't even know that she was being paid by, you know, but that was my fault. I should have done my own research.
These are
I
the things we don't know.
And so she was getting a kickback for the lasers that she was selling me through the company, which was Cutera. And they have a great laser, but let me tell you, they're really expensive for somebody that is just starting out.
Oh,
and you do not, for anyone that's starting out, you do not need lasers. Okay.
I know.
Please
I know.
Do not buy a laser.
I know. I tell all my clients that because we do a lot of medical aesthetics. I'm like, don't buy the laser. Just do not buy the really expensive laser.
So, well, I wish I had me to talk to. Because I did buy the laser and it was not a good investment. I did not make that money back at all. You know, those laser people always tell you, you just need like 10 people a month and
it'll
you'll
pay
make
itself
this money
off
back.
Then you'll just make
so quick.
Profit. Yeah,
right,
it's
right.
not how
And
any of that
so
works.
Quick and we'll help you advertise.
Oh, that's
None
my favorite. Yes.
None of that ever happened, right?
Yeah.
And I never, so we ended up like, anyway, so I'll take you through that journey. So I opened up the practice. I was taking all sorts of insurance, okay? And then my med spa. So, you know, we tried, what was that? Remember the Groupon? We tried Groupon initially, right? To get the people in the door for some aesthetics and stuff like that. And the aesthetics was okay. You know, I took a course on like PRP and, you know, fillers and Botox and all that stuff, right? I did all of it. And the volume wasn't that great. I didn't really even know how to advertise. I thought it was just going to be word of mouth, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, it's a little bit different beast.
it is. And then I started to, I was like, gosh, what is, you know, what's, what am I going to do? So then we ended up using a lot of our savings for, you know, paying into the practice because, you know, I wasn't able to cover my overhead. And then I ended up taking another job. So I thought, you know what, how ridiculous is this? I'm taking a job. So I took a job as a laborist to pay my bills in my private practice. So that I could fund this other, and I'm like, this is
This is
ridiculous. Like
crazy.
it's, and it wasn't, I mean, you know, it'd be one thing if I saw it like slowly trending up and it was working, but it was not
It just
working.
needed the
And
time.
the location that I'm in New York is all, you know, this, and it was at that time, it wasn't even as bad as it is now, right? Like there's like this monopoly of like, you know, private equity that has bought out all of these practices. So they have this huge mammoth like medical groups and they only refer to each other. And at that time, it was still the same idea, but I was, you know, it wasn't as big as they are now. And that was in 2016. And so like, you know, I didn't even have like referral sources. I just didn't know anything, right? And you don't know what you don't know. So in January, so I opened in April 2016. By, you know, January of 2018, I had to shut it down. My husband was like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Listen, I cannot, we cannot afford to keep doing this, right? We're just like putting all this money into a practice that is just dying and is not going anywhere." I was getting checks from the insurance companies for like a dollar, a penny, like no reimbursement. I'm like,
None.
this is crazy. So then I closed my practice and it was like I was giving my baby up for adoption. It was so painful. I had to like, you know, I sold everything, right? And my two lasers that I bought, one of them I was actually able to, so you know, I bought each one of them for like a ridiculous amount, right? Like the total bill for those two lasers was over 400,000. Okay.
They're crazy
And I
expensive.
yeah. And so one of the lasers I was able to sell. Do you know how much I sold it for? 10,000.
I was gonna guess
Oh,
20, but
yeah, no,
Oh
10,000. And
God.
the other laser, oh, this is like it's even better. The other laser, when they sold it to me, they sold it to me in 2016 in April. And you know, as a brand new laser, I paid, I don't know, like whatever, you know, with 200, let's say I paid 200,000 for it, right? Within the next few months, they got a new laser for that's it. So I bought the TrueSculpt, and then within like a few months, they got the 3D TrueSculpt. So mine was already outdated. Within months
Within
of me
months.
spending
Oh,
200,000, I was like,
God.
oh my God. I was so upset that these laser companies are so awful, right? They really take advantage of clinicians that don't know
They
what they're
do.
doing
They
and
do.
are so naive and thinking that they're going to make this money back. And you're not, unless you have the volume. Like if you have the volume, good for you. You're
If
going to
you've
do
got the
awesome.
volume ahead of time, that's fine. And
Right.
this is like, I always tell, because I've bought multiple lasers over my career. And at this point, like, I either am ordering them online direct from overseas, where they only cost 10 to 15,000 because they don't have the markup yet, or I'm going through like used refurbished dealers that are also other small business owners. Because like a laser that would have cost me 130K that they were quoting me, the guy was like, I'll do it for 12. I'm like, done. Done,
Right.
right? Granted, has it been the highest end, whatever? No, but if, then when you have the volume, if you can justify spending that 130 for that big laser, that's fine. But like they do, they're just so predatory on like new physicians because they show us numbers and we're like, yeah, that looks great. And then here we are because there's
Right.
no help with the advertising.
Correct. Correct. So then that was in 2018. And then I went on and I, you know, did laborist. I was working at an academic hospital, all this stuff, right? And I just feel like once you're an entrepreneur, that just that bug that
So
just stays with you,
hard.
right? So you really, so then I swore I was never going to do it again. And then in July 2024, I did it again.
I love
And
this.
I opened up another practice. And what I did is completely different than what I had before, you know, and I decided to do out of network, you know, cash pay. So I'm a direct specialty practice. I do gynecology and I do concierge. And, you know, some people, and so it's kind of a mix because I do concierge where people buy memberships. And then I do also fee for service, because
Yes.
I'd love to transition completely to concierge, because then I don't have to worry every single month about like how many
Right.
patients do I have, you know, with.
Right.
But the problem is that not everyone wants to buy a membership.
Yeah.
So then I would lose that revenue from fee for service. So
Yeah.
then, you know, I'm kind of stuck, but I don't know. That's a decision I have to make. But
Yeah.
as of right now, I do not take any insurance. I don't plan to honestly ever take insurance,
Good.
because it was like the worst thing and so traumatizing for me, getting those checks for like a dollar, a penny, and then having to go back and justify, you know, what I did and why I should be reimbursed even
Right.
$100.
Right.
Right, from the insurance companies. And
Right.
then they don't want to pay the little guys, right? Like,
No.
we don't have that pull. If you
Nope.
are a solo practitioner, you don't have that influence to get those big
No.
reimbursements. At least
No.
I didn't. Maybe somebody else does. And, you know, maybe somebody that's listening to your podcast will be like, no way. You know, I get tons of money.
Yeah, if
But
anybody knows how to go ahead and negotiate with those insurance companies, please let the rest of us know.
right,
As a
exactly,
solo
because.
practitioner, it just doesn't happen.
No,
Yeah.
and especially because there's so many big multi-specialty groups
Yes.
that, and you know, they're talking about Senator Warren put out a bill to break up all of these big private equity groups, right, where they own the doctors and they own the
Yeah, the
pharmacy and
pharmacy.
then they
Yeah.
own everything, right? That whole monopoly that they have, where they just kind of own the whole healthcare
Yeah.
system.
Yeah.
And so now that's what it's become. And I feel like the only way, if a physician is going to survive, if they want to do solo practice, you know, where they're on their own, then they have to do out of network. They have to,
Yeah.
where they're not dealing with those insurance companies that are dictating how long we can spend with our patients, right? What we can do for them, and whether or not our expertise will be covered by, you know, what they feel is appropriate. And I just think
Right.
that that's not the way to give patients the best care.
No, I agree. I agree. I think at this point, and this is kind of where I've like focused in, I moved over to like a cash kind of hybrid practice, right? So like, because I know that not every area can support strictly concierge. And I think that's the biggest concern that I hear from people too. And my area can't either. I mean, it's just, you know, that we've got a big population that's on kind of a fixed income. But, you know, we do have the ability, I think, with adding cash services and really focusing more on being able to offer that quality care that like you can offset being so dependent on what an insurance company is going to pay you, you know? So like ideally, if you can get to where it's like 70% cash services and the rest is like insurance, then you're not as worried about, you know, all the hiccups with insurance and them decreasing your reimbursement rate. Like it's so important. I think if you can go full concierge, I think it's great. Honestly, like hands down, the best way to do it. I do think patients will pay for it. I think people have to find their niche. I think they have to find what they're able to
100%.
offer that is different from everybody. But it at the bare minimum, adding cash services, like just expanding your horizons so that you're not totally dependent on these insurance companies. 'Cause yeah, they're not out for us. I don't even think they're out for patients, but you know, that's a
No.
soapbox I should probably stay off of.
Yeah, no. I don't, you know, I mean, we know who they're working for. They're working for you know, people on their boards
Their
and
shareholders.
their
Yeah.
CEOs, and that's where all those that money is going, you
Yeah.
know. It's definitely not to the patients and not to the physicians. And I find it to be so funny. I was talking to a patient yesterday, you know, she came in and she was a fee for service patient, and she said to me, she was like, oh, you know, have you thought about like working for, you know, helping the underserved? And I looked at her, I said, that's been my whole career.
This is literally what
Like,
I've done
I've
the
worked.
entire time. Like,
I was like, I have spent my whole life working at FQHCs. I have worked in the Bronx. I have worked with, I said, that's what I've been doing.
Right.
This is what I started in July of 2024.
Yes.
So
Yes.
I've been doing that. Thank you. You
Yes.
know,
Thank
but
you very much. Yes.
I just thought it was so funny, you know, that yeah. So it's
Yeah.
funny what, you know, people have their assumptions, right? Like physicians are just, you know, raking it in and they're just making
Oh
so
yeah.
much money and
Oh yeah. It's
you know.
so not where it is anymore. Yeah. Now,
Right?
how did you go about building that concierge practice? Like what was kind of the process for you? What do you feel like you really did different that moved the needle for you there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I know this is not, to promote anyone, but I will have to say, honestly, what changed for me, right? So in 2018, I shut down my, insurance-based practice, right? And then I went to, I was doing locums. I also, first I was a laborist, then I started doing locums after that. I quit my laborist job. I just wanted to work when I wanted to work. So I think locums is great for that. I think it's fantastic if you find something that works for you. And then in 2022, I came across, actually in 2021, I was part of like a mastermind with one of the other physicians. She started talking about business and stuff like that. And that's how I started to get back into the business idea. And then, everybody kept bringing up Dr. Una and everywhere. And then they were like, oh, you have to listen to her. Oh, she's got this wait list. Oh, I don't think you can join, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who is this woman? Right?
What is
Everybody
happening?
keeps talking. Yeah, everybody keeps talking about.
And
so I found Dr. Una in 2022. And that honestly, I would say is what changed. I mean, what changed for me, it was the mindset, right? Because you really need, I think that you can have a practice, but if you don't have the mindset or you don't have the belief that it's going to succeed, it's not going to succeed. I think you really have to fix that mindset. And for me, for a long time, because my other business didn't do well, I had it in my mind that, maybe I'm just not meant to be an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm just not gonna, like all of
There's
those
going to be some
negative
mental
thoughts,
drama,
right? That, after you are not able, like, if it doesn't work out once, you have that in your head, I shouldn't
Absolutely.
try again because I spent so much money, we invested so much money, we lost so much money, it's probably going to happen again. Why am I going to do this? Blah, blah. And so there was a lot of work that I had to do on myself that I continuously do. So I don't want anyone to think like, oh, she did it once and she said, no, it's like a daily thing that I work on my mindset.
This is an always thing, guys.
Right,
Always.
exactly. So that's what changed. That it was just finding a community of other physician entrepreneurs, and that's what I needed. Because even though like my husband has an MBA from Columbia, he did not want to get involved in helping me with my business. I mean, he helps with it a little bit, but honestly, not much because he has a lot of regulatory rules, whatever. He's in finance, and so I don't know. He's got a lot of issues, so he can't help me with that. But so then I had to find my own community, right? Because I was like, I don't know this stuff. Where am I going to find it? Where am I going to learn it?
It's the
So,
education we didn't get.
correct, correct. So that's kind of what happened. And so then I, met up with this community, and initially. I'll have to say that I'll also in terms of creating my own niche, right? Like, so what I did is that same thing in around 2021, totally burned out, tired of delivering babies. And then even then I still did it for like 4 more years. I literally just stopped last year in 2025. Is that I was like, what am I going to do? I can't deliver any more babies. I'm just so tired, exhausted, and it's so stressful, right? Like when you're
That
delivering a
that's high
baby,
stress.
yeah, you've got like 2 patients, you're taking care of the mom and the baby, and there's like hemorrhages and blood pressure crises and shoulder dystocia, and like you're always worried, at least I was always worried about like, what's going to walk in through that door? Somebody going to be hemorrhaging, somebody going to have a cord prolapse. Like it was just so much stress. Like I would be stressed even before I was like 2 weeks before I'm on call. I'm thinking about that call, thinking like, what is it going to be like? Right. And I, I'm working in the Bronx, and I'm working, and I worked in like Westchester and whatever. So I don't know. It was really stressful for me. So then I was like, what do I want to do? So I was having this conversation with my sister, and I'm waiting for my son. It's like a fall day, September 2021, and he's at football practice, and I'm sitting in my car waiting for him, just watching him play. And I was talking on the phone with my sister, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. She's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I think I want to focus on sexual health. And she was like, then you should do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's
That
weird because,
moment.
yeah, because, and it's funny, it sounds like, that seems like a pretty obvious decision, but, for somebody that like, you have to really give yourself permission, and coming with a lot of cultural baggage, with a lot of things that like I grew up like, you know, thinking like sex is wrong, dirty, shameful, is taboo, and things like that, that you don't talk about it, right? It's like a mind shift, the mindset, you know, shift that you have to have and that you again have to work on yourself. And it starts with giving yourself permission.
Yes,
And
hugely.
so first I had to give myself permission. And you know, it was like, you know, like I'm an adult, like I'm not, you know,
Right,
but like
like it's okay for me to do this.
yeah, right. But then I did. And you know, it's funny because I was like nervous about telling my family and my parents. And I told my mom, like, I don't know, like 4 years after I started doing it, like in 2024, when I was getting an award through my alma mater for Alumni of the Year. And she asked me, she goes, "Well, what are you getting this award for?" And I said, "Mom, it's for my podcast." And she was like, "Well, what's your podcast?" And I
You're
said,
like
"Well, Mom."
about that.
Yeah, I know. And I said, "Well, it's about sex." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, it's about sex, Mom." And she's like, "Oh, okay." And then she was like, "Well, you know, why don't you tell me the name?" And she's like, "You know, I want to tell your cousins. I want to tell everyone all about it. You know, my cousins are in Pakistan." And I was like, "No, they don't need to hear
We're gonna
about
not do this.
that." But yeah, so that's what happened. So I found my niche after I decided that I really didn't want to do OB anymore. And so I just wanted to focus on gynecology, and then I decided to focus on menopause and perimenopause and sexual health. And so that's what my concierge practice is now. It focuses on midlife women and focuses on menopause and perimenopause and
Oh God,
sexual health.
that's so needed. I feel like that's like the majority of my audience these days. We're all in the same tribe together where we're like, yeah, my tolerance level for things is just gone. What is that about? Like,
Exactly, right? Exactly. So.
that's such an interesting thing too, because I think, one of the things that happens, I think, for especially female doctors is like we have to go, once we get through med school, we get through residency, we're used to doing everything on our own. And it's like, okay, buck stops here. I'm in charge of everything. Like, I should know all the things. We didn't get any business education, right?
No.
Like literally none. And then it's foreign almost to like reach out for help, whether that is like a mastermind group, whether that's like a group like Dr. Una's group, like I did that for a couple of years, or it's the individual one-on-one. Like I think it's trying to figure out where the experience of others that have come before you and that have literally have done the thing that you want to go do, like having that person or those people, that community that you can like bounce those ideas off of and see that there are success stories with how that works. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. Like it's such an important part of gaining those skills. And it's just such a weird thing that like we don't think to really ask for it until we're like completely burned out. And then you'll have that family member that's like, what are you doing? And you're like, I don't know. Like, it's a great question.
100%, 100%. And it's like you really do need to find your tribe, right? Like you need to find, I find it's very difficult to do entrepreneurship by yourself. I mean, you can if you feel very comfortable with it, but like you said, we just don't get that education. We don't know, you know, what works, what doesn't work until it's like trial and error. And sometimes, you know, at least in my case, it was a very painful and very expensive lesson. And I don't know. You know, so I feel like, you know, if you can find people, if you can find mentors, if you can find people that have already done what you are doing and kind of follow their path, then, you know, it's very helpful. And if you can find people that will support you and will help you answer your questions and guide you, I think that that is such a gift,
It
right?
is. It is. And it's such an interesting thing because, we all hear about like the rooms that you're in, right? Is what you're gonna like elevate yourself to be. And it's so interesting. My husband worked as, W-2 job consistently, like engineer, did his thing. And like he has told me, from the friends that I have and the conversations that I've had with people that are, women in my group of entrepreneurs, right? He's like, you are having a completely different level of conversation with your friends. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you guys have the most random business conversations. And like most of them, I think would work if you guys just decided you weren't bored enough to do it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's a very different I don't know, mentality when you're with a bunch of other entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
And it's
100%.
so important. You get inspired, you can bounce things off of each other. Like, you're not dealing with your itty bitty committee in your head that's trying to tell you, like, that's a terrible idea, or you already tried that once. What makes you think that's going to work again? Right.
Hundred
So
percent.
you run into these other people that have already done it, or like, no, girl, this will totally work. And it's just something about it. So you
Yeah,
even went as far to doing a TED Talk in
I
2023.
did.
Tell me about that, because that's
Yeah.
fantastic.
I did a TEDx talk, yep, in 2023. So I wanted to just push myself and do something
Yes.
that I'd never done. And I joined a group. I'm sure you've probably heard of Caesar. He does,
How
yeah.
was that?
It was good. It was good. Yeah, I think his price has gone up significantly since
Well,
I
I'm
joined.
sure he's had a lot of success with it, so.
He does, right? He can almost guarantee you that you're going to at least land one TED Talk. And actually, that year that I applied, I ended actually landed two, but they were both like back to back, and it just was too much. I couldn't, and I didn't realize, again, you don't know what you don't know. I didn't realize how much work and effort it is to do a TED Talk. Like, I was
Interesting.
like, oh, yeah, no, that's going to be easy. No, I'm going to
Right.
be able to memorize that. No. Because, like, if that TED Talk, first of all, has to look like it's like so easy and conversational. Like, we're just, I'm just talking to you on a stage. It's so, simple, whatever, right? And it has to just flow. You have to have like intonation and move your hands and this and that. And then if you decide you want to put up a slide, just kind of reference to that. And it's a lot more work. It was a humbling experience. Let's just say that. I thought I was going to be, I thought it was going to be much easier than what it was, but I'm so grateful that I did it. And I'm so proud of myself for doing it because it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. That year, my father ended up passing away. So that was like a big deal. And it was in July, and then my TED Talk was in November. And it was kind of a lot of things were going on that year. And so anyways, it was kind of a big deal. And it was good. I got up on stage, and I will say that like I practiced and practiced and practiced, and I had different people listen to me, and I had Caesar listen to me like multiple times. And then you get up on that stage and you're like, I have this. This is totally fine. And then you get up on that stage and you're like, oh my God, I forgot what I was going to say. But I think also it had to do with like perimenopause, and I wasn't even on estrogen yet. So I should
Oh,
have been on
jeez.
estrogen at that time. But it was good though. It was, I felt like I kind of forgot like two of my lines, but then I made up for it. And nobody could really, like, I paused. I didn't really forget my lines. It was just that I paused twice. And of course, I remember that. No one else remembers that. And my
Absolutely.
kids were in the audience, and I thought it was so important for, like, I have three boys. So I thought it was, like, so important for them to see their mom up on stage, doing a TED Talk. So it was great. And they were like, Mom, you did great. And I was like, oh, I didn't do great. I paused. And then they're like, no, you did. And they're like, you don't know. The first guy that came out on stage actually had notes. Okay, you're not allowed notes. You're not allowed to be looking at a piece of paper. And they're like, he had a piece of paper. He was reading off his piece of paper. And I was like, oh, no. Okay, all right. Then I was better.
Then okay. I think I did
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Oh, and then with your podcast, so it's the Muslim Sex Podcast,
It
which
is,
I
yeah.
love. How do you feel like you got the courage to start doing that?
Yeah, so same idea. Like I had that conversation with my sister, and so I'll tell you what happened. So it was November. It seems like everything happened in 2021.
I
It
mean,
was.
sometimes the universe shifts, like.
Seems like that was like a turning point in my life, and I think it really was. But so that November, I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who is a layperson, not in medicine, and she just, called me up. She had a question, and then she said, wouldn't it be great if we did a podcast? And I was like, okay. And she's like, yeah, like you would be like the healthcare professional, and I would be the layperson. I would just be asking you questions. And I said, sure, that sounds like a great idea. And then she said, we could call it, she goes, let's think of a name. She goes, that's something that like, get people to stop and really think about. And I said, sure, what are you thinking? And she's like, I think we should call it the Muslim Sex Podcast. And I was like, no way. I'm not calling it the Muslim Sex Podcast. I said, are you crazy? There's no way I'm going to be doing a podcast called the Muslim Sex Podcast. I was like, absolutely not. She's like, no, really think about it. She's like, you know, if somebody sees that, they're going to stop. They're going to be like, what is this?
I
You
mean,
know,
she's
and then,
not wrong. It's an attention grabber. Like,
right. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And so really, when we talk about like mindset, really, I mean, I had to really like, and I was so embarrassed when people asked me, you know, they'd be like, what's your podcast? I'd be like, well, this is the Muslim side.
you're
I'd
like
be so
mumbling it
embarrassed.
under your breath.
Yes, I'd be so embarrassed to like even say the name because I was like, oh my God, you know, am I bringing like shame onto my family, my community? Like, what am I doing? Right. But no, actually, you know, so now it's been, I started in 2022. And I release a podcast episode every single Friday. I'm
Good for
so proud of
you.
myself that I've been releasing it every single Friday since 2022.
Good for
And so
you.
now it's been 5 years now. And we have over, I think today there was an episode that came out. I think it was episode number 221.
Wow.
And they're fantastic episodes. I have like all these like, you know, people that are on social media that you know, I'm sure you've heard of also in the sexual health sphere. They're all on it, you know, like Kelly Kasperis and Rachel Rubin, all these people, right? They're on my podcast. And I talk about menopause and perimenopause and sexual health. I talk about orgasms and libido. And I today the episode that came out was about pleasure and the neuroscience of pleasure and orgasm. And
Interesting.
I had a professor out of Rutgers, Dr. Barry Komisarek. He's renowned for his work on orgasms and his research. And it's just it, that kind of, like, honestly, if you don't listen to any of my podcasts, listen to that one. It is
Listen to
so good. It is really good. He is just so good. And he's got to be like in his 80s, okay? And he's
What?
been doing this research forever.
Oh,
Yes,
that's
forever.
really crazy. I love
And he
that.
talks about his journey and how he got into it and this and that. But it just, I mean, it's just amazing. And I learned so much about orgasms on that episode. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a
Fantastic.
great episode. But he was great. And you know, it's just been it's been a journey for me in terms of just how I feel about, you know, the topics and things like that. And, you know, I'm an Ishwish fellow. I belong to Ishwish, which is the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. I'm a fellow of that organization. I'm also a Menopause Society certified practitioner, board certified OBGYN. So you know, I'm a sex counselor and educator. I did a year-long course with the University of Michigan. That was also 2022 to 2023 on sexual counseling and education.
Okay. This is the
And
telehealth in Michigan part. This makes sense.
Well, you so I grew up in Michigan, so I'm from Michigan. Yeah, so that's where I get my telehealth in Michigan. So and I did my residency. So I went to the University of Michigan, Dearborn for undergrad. Then I went to Michigan State University, DO school, for medical school. And then I did my residency in like the Southeast Detroit area. And then in 2004, after I graduated residency, I got married and moved out to New York. So that's how I'm in. Yeah.
That's how
But
you
my
got
roots
married.
are in Michigan.
Oh, I love that. Okay. All right. That's fantastic. So what would you kind of tell somebody who's considering, like, you know, because there's a lot of people that do feel kind of stuck in their private practice or just stuck in their medical practice in general, right? Like, what would you tell people about thinking about some of these other ways that they can help with their medical education, right? So like you're doing podcasting, you've done a TED Talk. Like, what are some of the mindset things specifically that you feel like you really had to get through to be able to do those?
Yeah, I will say the biggest one that I still work with and still working on, rather, is knowing that you are enough. Knowing that, because I think there's so many times in life when we're told that we're not enough, you know, whether it's in residency or if, you know, you apply for a job and you get rejected. And, you know, sometimes I think that, you know, you internalize that, at least I did. And then you start feeling like you're not enough. So I think knowing that you are enough to do whatever it is that you are passionate about, I think that is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned.
I love that. What are I always ask everybody this, what are a couple of books that you feel really impacted you? Like if you had to recommend anybody.
So, I think that I have some books here, and so one of them is called Soundtracks by John Acuff,
Oh, that's a good
which
one.
right? I love that one, and I think that it is so good because, soundtracks, he talks about basically the negative thoughts that we have in our head that just run like a soundtrack and that really keep us stuck. Right. And so it's about changing those thoughts. It's a little bit about cognitive behavioral therapy, but it's about, changing those thoughts. And how do you go about changing those thoughts? You go about by changing what you believe, changing these, creating an affirmation, creating vision of what you want your life to look like. Right. Because if you can change your thoughts, then you change the feeling, which will lead to a change in your action. And so that's what you really have to work on. And I feel like this book, I think that he just did such a good job. And he talks about the affirmations that you should be doing and maybe even posting some on the mirror and, telling yourself. And it's really difficult. It's difficult to remember to do those affirmations. And, but, I think that that is a really good book.
Yeah, that's a great one.
This book, this is another book that I got. It's called She Sells. And it's the author is Megan DiPiero, and somebody recommended this book to me, and I thought that it was really helpful. It's a quick read. It seems like I do most of my reading on the airplane because I can't do anything else, and I don't like to really watch movies or anything. So I read. So anyways, this She Sells, and I felt like that was a really good book. Again, it talks about mindset. She talks about how she's a photographer, and she quoted somebody like this crazy amount of money, like $16,000 to do their photo shoot. And they said yes. And she was shocked. And it's just about loving the value that you offer, loving your offer, and believing in it. And so when you say it to people, then they also see the value, right? So this book I thought was really good. And then there's a new book that I'm reading actually that I will show you, and it is this one, and it's literally like 38 pages, but can you believe it that I still haven't finished it because I have been doing other things, but I will tell you, it is really truly amazing. It's called The Quantum Leap Strategy,
Oh, I don't
and
think
it
I've
is
read that.
actually about it's about manifesting, manifesting your destiny and what you want.
Ooh, I'll
And
have to put that
this
up.
honestly, like it's a book that you workshop. It's not just a book that you read and put away. It's a
Okay,
book that
good
you
to know.
workshop. And there's a workbook with it too. I don't have the workbook yet. But anyways, I think that, those three books I would say are, very, very good. Dr. Una also has a book on a profitable private practice, which I thought you can get on Amazon, which I think is a really good book as well, because she talks about how to just what are the things that you can do to fill the holes in your schedule, right? Like you have a practice, you're not making enough revenue. What are the strategies to get that schedule booked, right? Full. And how can you increase your revenue? And how each member of your team is actually, can generate revenue also for you, right? And to see them as not as an expense, but actually as
Revenue
investments.
generators.
Revenue generators. And
Absolutely.
to, that
Absolutely.
so anyway, so I think that those books have really helped me, and I think that they are, they're really good. I mean, this one, honestly, this Quantum Leap Strategy, I'm like
I'm excited to
loving
try
it.
that. Like
Yeah,
that's I
it's
haven't
like
done that yet, but I'm all about anything that you can kind of workshop your way through, especially for like helping create that vision for yourself. So important to do that as your framework. Like if you have done nothing else, do that because otherwise you're just spinning your wheels. Like you don't have a direction.
correct.
So yeah, I love that. I'm gonna have to try that book out too.
So that is that's definitely a really it's amazing book, so
I
it's really
love
good.
it. I love it. Well, Dr. Lodi, thank you so much for being here with us. This was a wonderful conversation, and I hope it, gave some people just some ideas about like the different ways you can practice because you've literally done all of them, which is fantastic. you've experienced all versions of this. And to be able to like, branch out and try doing some different things like with your medical education. This is knowledge that you have. Nobody's taking that away from you. There are other ways to do use your medical brain and do this as a business. So I'm excited that we got to have this conversation. Where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on, Sarah. I really appreciate
Yeah.
it. Thanks for your time, and thank you to your listeners for listening to this episode. So I am on all social media. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Dr. Sadaf OBGYN. I also, my podcast is the Muslim Sex Podcast, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, any one of those channels. And I also have a YouTube. It's at Fembe Health. And there's also YouTube of the Muslim Sex Podcast. And yeah, I mean, I think you can go on there. There's also my website, www.femvehealth.com. You can email us at hello@fembehealth.com. And yeah, I think that's like the best way to get in touch with us.
Perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you again, and hopefully we will get to talk soon.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.